like a copy of God's Word. The New Testament in its entirety is offered to you freely, without any cost or any obligation that is to you, yourself. You would like one to peruse, meditate upon. It is the Word of God when all said and done. You would like one, feel free to come and ask for one. Gladly place it into your hands. As I say, the New Testament in its entirety, the only thing that's free in the town of Stafford today. Word of God, of course, is has the ability that nothing else does, and that is to bring a person to a knowledge and understanding of the wisdom of God. That, well, of course, it is quite manifest, quite clear to those that is who will see revealed all around you. In the New Testament, the book of Colossians, to be precise, speaking about the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, it says that He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. That all things were created by Him and for Him. For Him is quite interesting, because well, it points out the fact that everything that was made, number one, by Him, and everything that was made for Him. Guess what? The world, the universe, does not revolve around you. It revolves around Him. The universe was not made for man, for Adam. It was not made for you. It's not here for your convenience. And neither are you. All things were made by Him and for Him. Everything that was made, that is. So that tells us, number one, that evolution is a load of tosh. Tells us that you're not a piece of chemical fizz that climbed out of some primordial sludge. It tells us that you are a man, a woman, made in the image of God. But an image, because of sin, that is somewhat tarnished, broken, in disarray, and even, oh yes, a state of utter depravity, is how God puts it in His Word. And therefore, of course, in need of God's salvation. That God, of course, is Jesus Christ. There is no other God but Him. All things were created by Him, and all things were created for Him. For His glory, for His praise, not for man's, not for yours, not for Adam's, the first man, and not for any man, woman, or child born into the world today. Everything for His glory, and He will be glorified in you. Ah, but you say, I don't believe in Him. He will still be glorified in you, either in your salvation or your damnation. One of the two. But we are here today in the hope that through hearing the Word of Jesus Christ, hearing His Word, His salvation Word, that is, that you might turn from your unbelief, that you might embrace Jesus Christ, and through Him, His person, and His saving work, that you might be saved. That's the hope, at least, anyway. All things were created by Him, Jesus Christ, God, who was manifest in the flesh. He made everything. Not by a process of what's termed evolution, but in 6 days, 24-hour periods, Jesus Christ spoke the universe and everything into being. Oh, you say that sounds magical. No, not magical, supernatural. You live, you see, in a supernatural universe that was made by Jesus Christ, and of course that consists by Jesus Christ. It's held in place, it's sustained. Even human life is sustained by Him. Without Him, you cannot have a meaningful thought. Without Him, you cannot even breathe. In Him, you live and move and have your being. Or you may not be conscious of it, but that's the fact. That's reality. Evolution is the opposite. It's unreal. Evolution is a lie. Some people, of course, they call it a theory, but that gives it far, far too much credibility. It's a lie from the pit of hell designed. The philosophy of man never was scientific to begin with, and it is not scientific now. It was dreamed up by God-hating men who did not, just the same as every other natural man born into this world, did not want there to be a God. And so came up with this philosophy, this idea of man, that there was no God, and that by accident the universe came into being. Well, if you can believe tosh like that, then may I suggest that you have more faith than I do. My faith is in the Word of God, and the Word of God says that all things were created by Him and for Him. That is, by and for my Lord Jesus Christ. The philosopher, German philosopher, some 100 years ago, man by the name of Nietzsche, he coined the phrase, God is dead. But guess what? Nietzsche's dead and God's still going. Surprise, surprise. But Nietzsche, he said, contrary to your modern day, your contemporary so-called atheists, he said, he encouraged people to give up on God. He says, you give up on God, he says, well, that means, he says, there's no meaning to life, no moral values, no objective truth. Everything, he said, is just simply arbitrary. Well, you show me a man, you show me a woman on this planet who lives by those standards. There is no such a one. So that tells me there is no such a thing as an atheist. Such does not exist. Or you may call yourself that, but that's not the reality, because you do have moral values. You do go by objective truth. Everything is not arbitrary at all. And then, of course, well, you've got another one, a modern-day philosopher, American gentleman, man by the name of Rosenberg. He says all you are is just clumps of matter. And he says, what can you get out of matter? Well, I agree with him there. Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. But I think maybe, perhaps, the most of you at least, we get a little bit more than just nothing. I don't think you're clumps of matter at all. I think, as the Bible says, you were created by Jesus, by Him, and for Him, for His glory. No, you're a man, a woman, made in the image of God, made for God, made to glorify God, to walk with God, enjoy God, and to know Him forever. But friends, the only way that you can come to know Him is through His Word. His revelation given to us, the Bible that is, the record, the testimony concerning God's Son, Jesus Christ, how He came into the world to save, to rescue us from that entrenched unbelief that grips our modern society today. For him, you were made. Not for yourself. The universe, the world does not revolve around you. I understand that will be a great disappointment to many, many people, but that's the truth. The universe, the world revolves around Jesus Christ. But of course, that selfish attitude that thinks that the world revolves around yours truly, that of course is the very essence of the problem, the essence of sin, is it not? Selfishness, you know? You may have noticed, but let me point it out, just in case you haven't noticed it, but the central letter in the word sin is the letter I. I. Me. The world, the universe, everything and everybody revolves around me. And anybody gets in the way, then woe betide them. That's the essence of sin. The pride of the human heart. The deceitfulness of the human heart. The essence of sin. I, the ego in fallen man. But then, of course, that comes about why? Jesus Christ created all things for himself, and he created everything good. He made man upright in the beginning. No problems, no unbelief. Man was in a rosy state, you might say. Everything was lovely in the garden, you could say. But then, of course, man chose willfully to sin, brought sin into the world. Your first parent and mine, Adam his name was, he brought sin, he brought death, he brought the suffering, he brought it into the world. And of course he began to get children in his own likeness, that is, his own sinful likeness. And now, of course, generations on, that sin nature passed on one generation to another. Here we are now, 2018, just the same. Born in sin, conceived in sin, and born in sin. And therefore, as a result of that, children of wrath. But it's that sin nature, you see. That's the heart, that's the root of the matter. Conceived in sin and born in sin. You became a sinner, you see, before you left your mother's womb. You became a sinner at the moment of conception. That's when you became a human being, and that's when you became an accountable human being. Even before you breathed your first breath, even before you spoke your first word, you are a sinner separated from God as a result of your sinful nature. And of course, from that nature, well, what would you get? A person, a man or woman, who thinks that the universe, the world, revolves around them. But that's not the case. The truth still stands. All things were created by Jesus Christ for him, for his glory, for his benefit, not for yours and not for mine. But that's in nature, of course. That's the root. That's the heart of the problem. And it's from that root, it's from that nature, that comes all the sinful practice, all the evil that you see abroad in the world today. Whatever it might be. Whether it be murder, whether it be by drugs, whether it might be abortion, however it may be. The drunkenness, all the uncleanness that we see that plagues our society, in fact, the whole world today. That's where it comes from. Out of the hearts of men and women. Out of the hearts of man, men proceed evil thoughts, Jesus says. Thoughts, of course, that turn into actions. So, well, that's the problem, but what's the answer? Well, the answer's a new nature. That's why Jesus says, you must be born again, you see. as it took a supernatural act of His to bring the universe into being, so it takes a supernatural act of God to change the nature of a man or woman. You make the tree good, and you make the fruit good. You make the heart of man good, and the fruit of righteousness will be good. But the nature must be changed. Oh, I tell you, it's good news. It's very, very good news. It's joyful news that this can come about, and is brought about by God Himself through the proclamation of the gospel, that God has given fallen man, sinful man, selfish man, who thinks that the world, the universe, revolves around him or her, but it doesn't. It was made by Jesus and for Jesus, for His glory and His alone. That there wonderfully, wonderfully is a way back from this path of sin. There's a way out of that sin nature. There's a way by which a man can be, a woman can be changed, transformed by the grace of God in the proclamation of the gospel. The good news, that's what the word gospel means. Good news. Good news for sinners. But of course, if you continue on in the vein that, well, you're not a sinner, you never did nothing wrong, and you do think that the universe does indeed revolve around you, well, you carry on in that selfish, sinful nature, and that just leaves you outside of God's kingdom, outside of His favor, far away from His love, far away from His forgiveness, and of course, on a pathway, well, to eternal destruction. Unbelief, you see, unbelief, that's the problem. Refusal to believe in the name of God's only begotten Son leaves the man, leaves the woman under the condemnation. You see, God, Jesus made everything, and He made it for Himself, and He made man upright. He made man, there was no issues at all. A perfect universe, a perfect world, a perfect man, no issues at all. But dear friends, it's man who's responsible for sin, not God. God did not create the evil. He's not responsible for our evil, for our unbelief. We ourselves are responsible. But you see, if I was conceived and born in sin, well, surely I'm not responsible. Oh, yes, you are. God says that we are all responsible in our first parent, Adam. We're responsible for his sin. Just as though we ourselves had reached out and taken that forbidden fruit ourselves, God holds each and every one of us responsible.
You're mentally ill.
No, sir. I'm very, very well in my mind, sir. The problem is with yourself, I fear. So, friends, you see, the responsibility is ours. And that, of course, is what, well, keeps us under the condemnation. For God so loved the world, the Bible says, that whosoever believeth, that He sent His Son Jesus, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish in their sin, should not go out of this world, die under the condemnation of God, should not perish, but have everlasting life. God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Did not have to. All condemned already. Every one of us. Conceived and born in sin. But this is the condemnation, says God, that you have not believed in the name of God's only begotten Son. So you see, friends, there is a way out of that sin nature. There is a way by which a man can be returned to God and restored to God's favor, and it's by the one who made all things and made all things for Himself, even Jesus Christ. He's your maker, He's your creator, He's the one who made all things. Contrary, of course, to the views of evolution, contrary, of course, to, contrary to the unbelief of your modern age in the United Kingdom today. Jesus Christ. He is your creator, the one who made you, and he is the one who is your lawgiver. The one who has the right, because he is your maker, has the right to demand of you how you should live, how you should conduct yourself in his world, in his universe. Not just as you please, not with the attitude that the world revolves around you, but rather with the attitude that all things were made by him and for him. And you are to conduct yourself, you're required by God to conduct yourself in a manner pleasing to him, obedience to him. And he has given us, clearly given to us, written with his very own finger, given us his law, those Ten Commandments, which are a summary of that law. You shall have no other gods before me. Before Jesus Christ, that is, the one who created all things and for himself. No worship of idols and no adultery and all the sexual immorality that abounds, of course, in your society, your modern society today. Murder, killing, the taking, illegally taking of human life. All those Ten Commandments, you see, that are like 10 spiked guns pointing the finger at every single one of us, condemning us, pronouncing us guilty, because we have all of us broken those commandments of God. And so therefore, you see, we are sinners, not just by nature, bad enough though that is, but sinners by practice too. Commandment breakers, law breakers, covenant breakers, apostatized from God, far away from God, separated from God as a result of our iniquities. But friends, Jesus Christ, the one who is your creator, your lawgiver, and the one, of course, I have to say, who is your judge. Your judge now, and who will ultimately judge you by this standard, not your standard, his standard. He will judge you by the credentials of his law. He will judge you in that last day. Every man, woman, and child shall be judged by him. But even now, right this very moment, God is judging. He is judging the very thoughts and intents of your heart. He knows your thoughts even before you think them. So you see, friends, now he is your judge. But then in the end, well, in that day has been appointed when Jesus Christ will judge the world in righteousness. Every single one of you. What's up with you guys? You believe in? Am I going to set you straight? Okay, you're going to believe? You're going to repent of your sin? You're not? No, well there you go, you see. There you go. I haven't got the power, son. I haven't got the power to straighten you out. Only God could do that. It's wickedness. You're poisoning the good lungs that God gave you. And you know what? When you're lying in hospital dying of cancer, you won't be laughing then. You won't be laughing then. What? Everything? Yeah, but there's no. Yeah, but is that an excuse? Is that an excuse to just to provoke it? Why don't you believe in God? Why don't you believe in God? No, he doesn't. Nah, a chain doesn't make you a Christian. Why don't you believe in God? Huh? Is it? Why? How do you come to be? How do you come to be? Evolution. You got a justification for that?
Yeah, but what?
Let's move away from the
fucking dinosaur fossils, mate. Try to tell me evolution didn't
So where did the dinosaurs come from? Where did the dinosaurs come from? If there was, let's just say for argument's sake, I'll put up your foolishness for a moment or two. Let's just say for argument's sake, that there was some kind of a bang, yeah, that brought about a great big lump of matter, yeah? How do you get life out of matter? How do you get life out of matter? How do you get motion out of matter? How do you get being out of matter? Put your brain in gear, man. Put your brain in gear. Put your brain in gear. You couldn't even have a meaningful thought, son. Not that you've ever had one, but you couldn't have one if there was no God. You couldn't have one if there was no God. Yeah. You were made by God and made to glorify God. Yeah. No, you're going to hell because you are conceived in your mother's womb. You are conceived a sinner. That's why you're going to hell. You were born a sinner. You were born a sinner. Yeah. You're an unbeliever. You're an unbeliever. Unbelievers go to hell. Only believers get saved. Only believers go to heaven. Whosoever believeth shall not perish. You're on the pathway to perdition, young man. All four of you. Yeah. On the pathway to perdition. You don't have to do nothing to get to hell. You're already on that pathway. Lest you repent, believe the gospel. Lest you turn from your wickedness. Why don't you? Why are you getting angry? Young man, Jesus can take that anger out of your heart. Jesus can take that anger out of your heart. Huh? Jesus make you good. Take that filthy mouth out of you. Clean your filthy heart. Ah, make you a good young man, an upright young man. Ah, instead of going about the town cussing and swearing and looking for trouble. Ah, no. I'm bidding you repent, believe the gospel. Get off that pathway to hell, young man. You're going to perish in your sin. You die in your sin. If you don't believe, Jesus said, you don't believe that I am He, you'll die in your sin. Go to lost eternity. Huh? You haven't got the power for that. Repent and believe the gospel, young man. Repent and believe the gospel. It's good news for sinners. Good news for sinners. Even foolish young men can be saved. It's happened before. It'll happen again. Jesus Christ came into the world. The world that He made all things, and He made them for Himself. And friends, that same Creator, Lawgiver, and Judge stepped down into this world to become the Redeemer of those who will believe on His name, for those who will turn to Him. Only believers get saved. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, those who believe, only believers get saved. When the Bible says Jesus died for the sins of the world, not everybody, head for head, not all men, not all women, only those who believe. Mockers, they were mockers, they were fools, they were gamblers, they were all kinds of wicked people underneath the cross where Jesus was dying. But even there were people who were being saved as well. People who were turning to Jesus, got their eyes opened by divine grace to see, to behold that He was the Son of God and that He was dying for sinners. And Jesus, well, He does save, but He saves only those who believe. You refuse to believe, you remain under condemnation. You remain in the darkness. You remain in your nature of sin. You re- practice of sin. Can't do no other. Sinful, wicked nature. I understand. I understand your behavior. I understand you, young man. You can't do any other. It's in your natures. It's in your natures. You can't help yourself. But Jesus can help you. Jesus can save you. Turn to Him. Repent. Turn from your sin. Turn from your wicked ways. And God will save you. That is, if you believe, if you trust in His Son, Jesus Christ, salvation is a reality also. So the one, you see, who created all things, and who created all things for Himself, He also became the Savior. Step down and think about it, you know. What a salvation. What good news that the Creator, you know, all your world religions put together have nothing, absolutely nothing like this. This is the gospel that the Creator, the Maker of the universe, became a man and stepped down into this world to save those who He had made, to save those who had rebelled, apostatized against Him, to save those who mock, who throw His good news even in His teeth. Oh, friends, I pray that you be glorified, not in your damnation, but that He be glorified in your salvation. That you come to an awareness, you come to a realization of how far it is, not just a little bit away from God, not just separated from God a short distance, but an eternity. An eternity. Oh, it's not that God's a million miles away from you. No, no, no. He's very close. He's very near to you. But in wrath and holy displeasure. Conceived in sin, born in sin, and therefore children of wrath all your days. From the moment of conception to the moment that you breathe your last, and then your wrath forevermore. Unless that is you're reborn, unless that is you're made a new creature in Jesus Christ, unless that is you're saved by Jesus Christ, by the Maker, the one who made everything, and made everything for Himself, even you. So He'll have pleasure in you one way or the other. He'll have pleasure, He'll have glory in you one way or the other. But I hope and pray that it will be in salvation. It will be because you turned, because He gave you the grace to turn. Because here's the thing, friends, you cannot do it yourself. You have not got the power, the strength. When we were without strength, the Bible says, Christ died for the ungodly. You see, friends, we don't have the power. We're impotent, powerless, spiritually, morally, to bring about any good of ourselves whatsoever. There's none good, says God. No, not one. None that doeth good, none. All together become unprofitable. None righteous, says God, not one. So any notion that you have, you know, that you're some kind of a good person, and why an atheist would want to be a good person, well, Don't think so, madam. I'll take God's word on that. Why an atheist would want to be a good person? I mean, can somebody explain that to me? What on earth would you want to be a good person if you're an atheist, if there's no God, if everything's just arbitrary? Well, you'll just do as you please, you know? Live with the attitude that you have, that the universe revolves around you. Yours truly, that everybody and everything's here just for you, for selfish, old, sinful you. But friends, you know that's not the truth. You know that's not reality. And you don't, hey, guess what? You don't even need a Bible to tell you that. You know it. innately you have the knowledge of God built into you. And no matter what you use, evolution, false religion, or anything else to seek to try to explain away the living and true God to justify your ungodliness, your unrighteousness, your wickedness, it just will not work. You cannot erase that innate knowledge that you have within you, the knowledge of God. So what do? You hold the truth. You hold down the truth. You press it down. You suppress the truth in unrighteousness because you don't want there to be a God. Because you're on the wrong side of Him. Because you're contrary to Him in your nature. A nature contrary to God is never going to want God, seek after God, find God, want to please God, want His Word, want His Bible, want His salvation, only by the grace of God. Is any man brought to Jesus Christ unless the Father who sent Him draws you, you remain as you are. As you were conceived in your mother's womb, as you were born, as you came into the world, as you live in the world, contrary to God, in your nature and practice, so you will die and go to a lost eternity unless God, in His grace and kindness, smiles upon you, draws you to His Son, unless He gives you the grace to come to Jesus Christ and be saved. But that's exactly what God does through the proclamation of the gospel. This is the means. It may seem as foolishness to you, but friends, God says that's an evidence, that's proof that you're on the pathway to perdition. If you see the proclamation of God's word as being foolishness. But in the wisdom of God, it's the means that God has ordained to bring men and women to their senses, to an awareness of God, an awareness of their sin, an awareness of their wickedness, of how heinous it is in the eyes of a holy and righteous God. To bring men and women to an awareness of what it is that they actually deserve. And that's not for the universe to revolve around them. That's for them to get their faces in the dust before the cross of Jesus Christ His Son and cry out for mercy before you perish. Because when you go out of this world, well, it's too late then. There are no second chances. You've got this short space of time in this world that God gives to you, however long or short it may be, in order to get right with Him. You waste that time. You waste that life given to you. You go out of this world in the same state in which you were conceived and born. You're lost forever. Roman Catholic Church talks, the false church, talks about a place called purgatory. There is no such a place. That was dreamt up by their hierarchy to fill their coffers with more money. There is no such a place spoken of in all of God's Word. Two destinations, heaven or hell. Heaven where God is, where Christ is, or hell where the devil and his angels are. Two destinations for mankind. When you breathe your last and go out of this world, you stand before God. Your sin will take you out of this world into the presence of God before whom you will stand, and there will be no great surprises. Oh God, I didn't know you existed. I thought evolution was true. It will not be like that at all. You will stand before the God you always, always, always knew existed. A child is born before it knows anything, it knows that God is. Now, friends, in that day you will be judged on the basis of what you have done with God's Son, Jesus Christ. Whether you have accepted Him or rejected Him. Or maybe perhaps I should put that the other way around. That would be more theologically correct. whether he has accepted you or rejected you. As he said to his disciples, you did not choose me, I chose you. But it's my prayer for you today, Stafford, as it is week by week, friends, as we come here and pronounce this good news to you of your Creator, Jesus Christ, by whom all things were created and for whom they were created, that you would come to know Him not just as your Maker, but come to know Him as your Savior, as your Redeemer, that you might be given the grace, the amazing, astonishing grace of God, and hearing the call of God, and hearing the whisper of His voice in your soul, not the sound of a preacher, but the whisper of the Almighty in your soul. Come to me. Come unto me. And that you would hear that call and obey that call. What is that call? Believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That's His command. God now commanded all men to repent. All men. That's your God-given duty and God-given command. Repent. Lord Jesus Christ, the Creator, says, repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. In your sin, that is. So today, if you will hear His voice, answer the call. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Because only believers in Jesus are saved. Nobody else is. Nobody but nobody. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation in none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. That one name, Jesus, Son of God, crucified, dead, and buried, raised again from the dead, that through Him you might have eternal life. Today, friends, today, hear His voice, obey the command. Repent ye and believe the gospel, Stafford. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Repent ye and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God is at hand. You'd like to have a copy of God's word?